March the 20th. And that means what? Well, it means that Jim Scarcelli, the former Wolverine, is with us. It also means, Scar, that we are 1 month away from the spring game. And this past Monday, Michigan started actually practicing. And it's great to see you, Scar. What's going on?
Yeah, they started practice. Denny, I went through spring ball, man, four times, I guess. You know, it was 20 practices back then. We hit every darn practice. They'd give you a little T-shirt. Bo would give you a little T-shirt at the end. 20 practices. I survived if you made all 20 practices. Not everybody made the 20 practices. It was tough. And, so they're going through it. And I talked to somebody. They haven't even hit. They go non-padded. The first two practices are non-padded. Mm. That was unheard of in my era. We were smacking and cracking the second we came out there, the first practice. So it's a different world. You save these guys. You know, that's just smarter, man. You know, you can learn a lot of football without beating your body up. Obviously, you got to do some hitting. You got to get some of it in to find out, you know, what do you got. But you got to be smart with how much you do.
It's going to be 15 practices now that culminates in one of those being at Michigan Stadium on April the 20th. Well, part of spring ball is including their new defensive coordinator and other new defensive coaches, Wink Martindale. Scar's got some thoughts on Coach Martindale, the defensive coordinator. With the NCAA tournament starting tomorrow, Michigan couldn't field a team if they were involved. Everybody's gone, including the head coach. We'll talk about that attrition with Scar, but we've already started talking about spring practice. So let's just stay right there, Scar, and talk about practice. Kirk Campbell on Friday, I asked him how much hitting he's going to do with his quarterbacks. And I said, considering that Jaden Denegal, he said himself, he compared him to like a Ben Roethlisberger buying time in the pocket, a bigger guy that he can move around to be able to find his throwing lanes. And then we all know about Orgy's ability to scramble and how that's a big part of his game. And Tuttle's got some wheels too. And I asked about hitting the quarterback. And he said he likes going live when he's got a quarterback competition like this. Not so much JJ last year. They knew who was going to be the starter and what he could do. So they didn't need to put him live, but they got 3, 4, 5 guys. And if it really is a tight competition and some of these guys getting a read on what they can do, moving the team, scoring points, it I don't know if it has, it's not as much with their legs, but that's part of their game.
Yeah. Denny, where we are at with the quarterback position, you have to do that. You have to go live. You know, they have to try to determine, you know, the differences between these guys. You know, you can evaluate their throwing, but the ability to escape, the ability to make plays with your legs can be the separator. So you have to do it. I totally understand it. This is the time to do it. And, you know, you got to coach the defense up. Look, we're going to put a pink jersey on them. But they're live, or maybe they won't put a pink jersey on them. But they're live, but just be smart. If you got a blindside shot at the guy, you know, you don't want to take that like he's, you know, from Michigan State. But, you know, be smart about it. But you have to have him live. You got to find out who can escape, who can, you know, what plays this guy can do that this guy can't. So I totally understand it. But, yeah, Denny, I just got some things here that, you know, going into spring, I'm looking at this football team. Every single guy down at Schembechler Hall, I don't know that I covered this last week. Everybody has something to prove. Every single person down there has something to prove. You know, these guys are, we won the last 3 years, but you look at Sherrone Moore, got something to prove. You look at the new offensive line coach, got something to prove. New tight end coach, new running back coach. You know, everybody, and now the whole defense is all new. You don't think there's pressure on these guys, which is good. They all got something to prove. And all these players, you know, got something to prove. The guys that are coming back as starters, Will Johnson, what's he got to prove? What's Mason Graham got to prove? Can you lead? What kind of leader are you? We know you can play. We know those guys can play. You know, Josiah Stewart, you know, and Donovan. We know you can play, but now can you lead? Can you bring all these other guys up? Can you make them better? Can you build this team that's going to fight like hell? You know, like Joel Klatt said, you know, we were more committed. Well, why were we more committed? That stuff, it happens in the spring. It's about leadership. It's about coaching leadership, playing leadership. You know, so everybody's got something to prove. And just want to throw that out.
It's a good reminder. This is the start of the 2024 season. What have these guys been doing since January the 8th? We know when we last left them, a couple days after, they were having a parade. Then they had a celebration that night. But have those guys been sitting around eating pizza and cheeseburgers, or have they been working their tail off in the winter phase so they could get ready for spring ball? And I just think about, I guess it would be 3 years ago now, Michigan had two guys on the inside, Chris Jenkins and Mazi Smith. And yet Mason Graham, as a true freshman, came in for spring ball. And by the time the season started, he was a starter. That's pretty much unheard of. But, you know, you, even though you have your spot, we're penciling everybody in. I've done the same thing. Freshmen, transfers, and then, you know, guys that have just accepted a challenge to really push the guy in front of them. This is where you're making a name for yourself here in springs. And if you're not rising up the depth chart, you're showing everybody that you're here and you're ready to go, and you're pushing the guy that's in front of you.
And then it's crucial, man. These 15 practices are crucial. And especially when they get into the, I mean, now you got to show that you can't make mental mistakes when you're not in the pads. Okay. You better be in the right spot. You better do all the mental stuff. But when you get the pads on, you know, you got to show, it's so important. There's so many guys that are now second, third year guys that are ready to compete because those coaches are making decisions every single day. They're evaluating every single rep. Every single rep is being evaluated. And I just want to throw this out, Denny, that I know you talked about it, but I got to talk about the Scruggs thing. Coach Scruggs really lit Sherrone Moore down, really lit the defensive lineman down. I would be furious if I was Sherrone Moore. You bring this guy in and now we got a couple of analysts over there coaching these guys. Are you kidding me? You know, right before spring ball's supposed to start, you got analysts now. Those kids are looking for their coach. So I'm seriously disappointed with it as a Michigan guy, former player. Those players deserve more. And he's embarrassed his family. He embarrassed Michigan. And it's going to, you know, we'll get over it. He's going to sit the bench for a while, be suspended. It is what it is. And no one should be fired over it. But man, you just can't have it. You let guys down, and we got some good analysts. One of Wink's guys and that other, I forget the names of those guys, are working with those kids because it's, you know, it's so important, man. You got spring ball, you're starting, you know, these kids got to get acclimated to the new coach. You know, how's he teaching things? What does he expect? What does he want? And look, you beat it up. I just wanted to throw it out there. It's so, you can't, you're going to ask your players to do all the right stuff, man. You got to live it too.
Well, the only thing that I would add, you said that you don't think that this is a fireable offense, and that it really depends how Michigan is looking at his past. Now, in the courts, I believe after 10 years, a DUI comes off your record. Does that mean when Sherrone Moore was interviewing Scruggs, and certainly that they had two incidences where he was arrested on suspicion of DUI, did that come up? Did they put some language in where they said this is a one-time deal? We don't know those particular things, but if Michigan is looking at it like letter of the law, just like every other coach, hey, that was in his past, we didn't even need to address it, then maybe they do look at this as a one-time situation and that he gets a second chance. Not everybody would look at it like that. I think that you could look at it like this is a second and a third time strike against him, and they could easily move on because of cause in the contract and look for a new defensive coordinator. I don't know how Michigan is looking at it and how Sharon Moore will approach it. A lot of Michigan fans are looking at it like this was a first-time offense. And, yeah, you know, hopefully he gets his life straight and let's just move on. He's a good coach. Others will look at it like this is a three-strike situation. So it just really all depends.
Yeah, if they were going to fire him, put yourself in that. If I'm Sharon Moore, though, if I'm going to fire him, I'm going to fire him right when it happened. I'm going to get a new coach right away so we get spring ball rolling. I'm not screwing around with him.
Yeah, well, I would disagree with that a little bit. Like you've got all of the information that you've been able to determine from Coach Scruggs. I don't know if they have the police report where they have everything in there. If they actually have what his blood alcohol was there. I do think though, it's been this long. I think that 24, 48 hours, he would have a good idea about what that was. I think myself that I would look at it as a repeat, that he would be a repeat offender. And I know that you might seem harsh to a lot of people. It doesn't mean that I'm just throwing him out in the street and I don't care about him. I would look to help him as much as I could if he needed treatment and anything else to go along with that. But in the part about you get out on, you say, hey, everybody deserves a second chance. Know this, that when he's out recruiting, that the negative side will be the negative recruiting against him. Anybody has a situation where the other opponent is calling you up saying, hey, you really want to play for this guy? He's got a third. They're going to say this is a third time. They're not saying, oh, well, the 10 years fell out. And they're looking at this as he will be branded as a three-time arrested for alcohol offense coach, and that's going to be used against him. Now you can say you don't care, you're standing by him, and that's, I don't know, people want to stand by him. It depends how you view it and then how Sharon Moore has viewed it, and we'll find out how he is going to view it.
Yeah, a couple things. Danny, it's over, and it's we got to move forward and hope those analysts, that's what, one thing good about the analysts now, these guys are not GAs. Like in my day, that would have been a GA or some other clown filling in. These guys are proven coaches. You know, Winks guy and the other guy, those are guys that have been coaching. So,
hey, Scar, I would tell you that, look at last year. Michigan didn't have their head coach for the last three games. And then the first three games, you had different coaches. If you were in the first half.
Danny, beat that up. I'm a bigger advocate on preparation and practice than game. I talked about it. I'd rather be there for practice all week in a minute, no question. But I want these guys there now. We got to get coached up. These kids got to find their guy. Okay, that's
your point. I got your point.
I've been thinking about this Alford thing, this coach we got, this running back coach. I think
Tony Alford, all right.
I'm just thinking about it. I think it's a good sign, not just for Michigan, but it's a good sign. And maybe we talked about that. Maybe there's something going on over there in Columbus. That Coach Alford's sizing up that maybe this ship is sinking. Maybe we got some rats over here fighting amongst each other. There was reports about that. Maybe there's some dysfunction, and he wants out. So that's what I'm hoping. I don't know for sure, but I'm just reading, trying to, Columbo it, Denny. So I'm hoping that's what's happening, and that's that on that. I know you beat it up, but I got one other thing, Danny, that if I'm preparing, and I tell you something that I would look at if I'm a college football coach now. College coaches in all professions, we copy what other people are doing that's successful. You know, and a guy that I would be looking at if I'm coaching college football, a program, is I'd be looking at what Kansas does on offense. They do some unique stuff. And I would take a look at all the shifting. Penn State hired their either quarterback coach or somebody to be their offensive coordinator, James Franklin. He sees it. I watched Kansas play. They're doing unique stuff. They're doing headache, problematic stuff. They beat people. They don't just beat people with talent. Guy's a real good, innovative offensive coach. So I don't know what Michigan's doing there. And we do a lot of shifting and stuff that gives people headaches. But I would take a look at it. I guarantee you people in college football, Danny, are looking at some of the things Kansas is doing, and we're going to see more of it around college football this year.
It makes sense. And if especially if Orgy is your quarterback, considering who was at the controls there for the Jayhawks, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know if it – no, it doesn't matter who our quarterback is. Some of the shifting and the problematic stuff they do, getting your defense lined up, it's just good stuff, man. It's just headaches.
Okay, but they did have a dual threat guy there as well.
Yeah, you can – I mean, that's always a problematic stuff when you have a dual threat quarterback, regardless of what you do. You can just be in one formation, and a guy that can run is always tougher to defend. There's no question. So, but the stuff they do, you know, is the things Michigan and Jim Harbaugh has done, and Sharon Moore's been around. He sees what we did when he had Manny Diaz confused 2 years ago in Michigan State, and he was lost. All of our shifting and stuff that we were giving him, man, was just – and that's the stuff Kansas does. And I'm just pointing it out, something I would be doing.
I like it. I'm looking at cutting edge and what's working across college football. It's like, even though Michigan, their defensive scheme is sound, everybody's watching the Michigan tape. You know, what can they do to be like Michigan on defense?
Well, they're hiring guys too, Danny. That's a problem. The problem with the Ravens' success defensively, I mean, how many of these guys are now there? It's getting infiltrated. It's all over the place. You got the Seattle coach. You got now San Diego Charger coach. You got the Baltimore coach. And you got all them guys that got coordinator jobs that were on that Ravens staff last year. And now, you got the UCLA guy worked under Wink. So you're getting more and more of it. And, you know, that's not good when, you know, that's what always hurt the academies. You know, when more and more people were running the their offense, it hurts them. But we'll get into Wink in a minute, and that's, you know, make that transition and talk about what's he going to do that's unique. You know,
unique for Wink. Okay, what else when it comes down to spring football? I put down on Monday, Scar, some of the things I thought they, whether you want to call them storylines or things to do. I put up that's not it. Let's see here. Give me a second to look through them all. I'll just page through while we're sitting here. It was what I was looking for the players. I guess I'll have to page through it a little bit more. But obviously the quarterback and the kicker were, and then we found out that Hinton is going to be at left tackle. So, you know, who's going to be over at right tackle. And as you mentioned, the depth is important as well.
Yeah. You want to get a pretty good idea who your top 44 players are, you know, who your kicker, your long snapper, and you know, that's what you want to come out of there with. So you know, who's my 2-3 deep and who's looking to transfer on out, and who, you know, what do we got? You're sizing it up every day as a coach, man. You know, I had 50, 60 guys at times. You know, they got 140 they're looking at, and every single rep, every single drill is a factor when the competition is tight. So they're trying to size it up.
There you go. Okay. Well, anything else on what these guys are trying to get done a month before we will see them on display in the spring game?
No, you know, just getting used to the new coaches, and we're going to see the difference with Wink. And, you know, I listened to him talk, and I've got down there Wink the magician, you know, and I'm thinking, if I was in his position, you know, I've got this job and they're asking you, you know, well, what about you and McDonald? What about you and Minter? What are your philosophies? And, you know, Wink says, well, I'm a little more aggressive than Jesse. That's what he said. He said, I'm a little more aggressive than Jesse. Okay, well, if I had the job that Wink is in, I'm going to keep throwing curveballs. That's all I'm doing is throwing curveballs to the enemy. If they're going to be listening to me, well, what the hell does that mean? I'm more aggressive, you know? So we're going to find out. I was looking at some Giants film of this past year. And let me just say this. Wink had much better players in Baltimore. When I watched the Baltimore defense when he was coaching there, you know, maybe he didn't have the Giants defense long enough, but they weren't as good. The Ravens drafted defense. They played better defense. They looked like they had better players. But, you know, he was doing some things a little different than Minter and McDonald. I'm hoping that we get, you know, we see this very similar stuff that we've done and had been successful with. So, look, he has a great relationship with both those guys. I didn't realize how much he talks to them. You know, he talks to both of those guys. So that's a great thing. You know, you get, 'cause I do that as a coach, man. You know, you do that. You talk to, you have your allies. You know, my brother and I coached together. We were in the same league. So we were talking all every week about, you know, what are you thinking about? What are you doing about, what'd you do against this guy? How'd you defend this? Or what, you know, so he's had long conversations with Minter and long conversations with McDonald, you know, about Ryan Day. I guarantee you, because Ryan Day's still there. Now you got new coaches at Michigan State, so that's irrelevant. But the guys that have been around, James Franklin, you know, you try to, you know, what did you do? How did you do it? And you know, he's going to talk about all the different schemes and everything. But anyway, I just think that, you know, getting, I think his system and watching it, it was different. And it was a lot of blitzing, but I didn't see, I saw four guys with their hand in the ground, and I didn't see that much from us at all. Mm-hmm. You know, we always had our two edge guys standing up. I didn't, you know, and he had some of that. So we're going to find out.
Here's the question to Wink when he was asked about if he was going to be blitz happy. And he did mention Ohio State and Texas's coach. Here's that audio, Scar.
I'm not going to tell Ryan Day or Sark, you know what we're going to do. I have confidence in these players. They can execute at a high level. I am more aggressive than Jesse and the proof's in the pudding, Jesse and Mike. So we'll see how it works. And, you know, if we can get to the quarterback rushing three, we'll rush three.
There you go. He says he's more aggressive than Jesse and Mike.
Yeah, well, if that means if you have faith in your coverage, maybe you're going to bring more pressure and put guys out on islands more. That depends on how strong is your coverage, how strong is your safe, your ability to cover guys. What does that mean? More zone, it can mean a lot of things. It's hard to analyze and determine what that means. But I'm planning on going to practice here, Denny, within a week, and I get a feel for things and share what I can, you know, but really, really looking to see some of these offensive linemen step up and some of these young guys we recruited and look at some of these backups that have been there. And I'm hoping that Crippen looks like a dominant center, man. And that Gio looks like a guy that's been there 4 years sitting the bench and he's pissed and he's ready. He's ready to start. Same with Crippen. That's what I want to see, man. Guys that are leading them out, and they've been sitting the bench, and they're ready to go.
Love to hear it. Looking forward to that. This programming note, I will have a sports update like I do 15 minutes prior to the show on Friday, but I am going on vacation for the next 4 days after today, so we'll be back Monday with the Good Afternoon Michigan Football Show. Off for 4 days after today. Looking forward to that. All right, Scar, how about answering some questions before we go to basketball?
Okay.
Richard was talking about Roethlisberger, said he was very good at moving the pocket, was younger. Michigan fans will remember that Big Ben Roethlisberger in Miami came into the Big House, I believe, when Roethlisberger was a true freshman. And remember thinking, he's got a pretty good arm on him.
Yeah, well, that's what, Coach Campbell, I think he talked about Denigal, you know, in that mold. I've stood next to Denigal as a big, strong, strapping. The first time I saw him, I thought he was a tight end. Yeah, you know, you want that big guy that can bounce off people, and you know, that's what we want. Guy quarterbacks that can move, man. Avoid the rush. How many times did JJ get us out of trouble the last couple of years?
He did a lot.
A lot.
Ferris, I don't know about the validity of what he is saying, but he is asking if anyone saw drones flying off of the Stadium Boulevard Bridge today.
Well, practice is this afternoon, so that's what we got to deal with now, man. We got the big Mark D'Antonio, Urban Meyer fence, memorial fence over there. Danny, there were some other questions there.
Yeah, I'm going to put some of those up. I was just looking at as we go through here. Sorry, let me get back up. Here's one from another one from Ferris talking about Michigan running 61% of the time. Bama ran 62%. OSU 51% of the time. Ryan Day is not going to run at 60% with he calls a soft Pac-12 coach.
Hey, listen, hey, Ferris, let me tell you something. I talked about this. I've watched Chip Kelly the last few, you know, the evolution of him as a coach. You know, he's not the same guy when he was at Oregon running, you know, four receivers and one back. When he got in the NFL, he started playing with more tight ends. And when he was at UCLA, he was playing with a lot of tight ends. I firmly believe Ryan Day brought – I mean, obviously Ryan Day has a relationship. That was his coach 20 years ago, right? Wasn't it? They go way back. But I think he brought him in a large part because – you know, Chip Kelly plays with tight ends, and I think a lot of what they want to do is get their defense by seeing tight ends, by seeing a physical run game, so they can beat Michigan. I think a lot of the reason that guy was brought in to help their defense beat Michigan. You know, play with tight ends and run the stuff we run and try to do a better job of it. Get your defense ready.
I agree. And Michigan fans have been browbeating Ohio State for 3 years, calling them soft, and there's some truth to it.
There is. Hey, listen, there is truth to the first couple of years. I think he tried to be more tight ends last year.
Yeah. But
the first 2 years when we beat them, yeah, they were spread. And, you know, we were just a more physical team. We had a run game.
Right. They weren't ready for that.
And I think Ryan Day is seeing it, and he's trying to toughen them up. And when you throw all day, you don't get your team tough. You don't get your defense tough. In fact, spring football right now, Denny, I mean, this is where I think about my experience as a player. You know, you go against our offense every day when I was playing. I mean, you're going to learn to defend the run. You got no choice because that's what you're seeing.
There's a few different reasons why Michigan over the last 3 years became a powerhouse. The number one on that list is the physicality overall of the offense, defense, and special teams. And they were in front of the curve on that. And other teams have adjusted. But you don't just say, okay, we're going to have to be tougher. But, you know, if you got to, starting with the first day of spring practice, get down there and it's with your whips and chains. And I know they're not in pads right now, but you have to preach it. You have to believe it. And you have to go through it. Here's a hockey question. Mark says that Michigan needs to turn Yost into Olympic-size ice. He goes back to this weekend. He saw with the first line change, they beat Minnesota at Mariucci. That's their ice. He said, imagine that speed and skill on the big ice. The Yost's new nickname would be Big Ice, the Big Ice. What do you think?
Yeah, I used to go to games. A lot of my buddies play, and they're big time supporters. Guys that I went to school with that are hockey guys, and I that's an interesting question. I never realized it that we didn't have as big of an ice rink as Olympic size. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, well, they don't play in the NHL on Olympic size, and it is a big deal when you watch. When I watch the Olympics and I'm watching that extra space behind and on the side, you know, you can use, you know, it goes almost without saying that if you have speed and you're a good transition team, that is going to be something that, could benefit you. I like the NHL size rinks. And so I like the Olympics. Save that for the Olympics. I would not change that myself. Having said that, Mark, Michigan, I haven't seen Michigan play a hockey game like they did against Minnesota in a while. They played almost the perfect game. They used their speed. You saw it in transition. Their defense was excellent. Their system, the everything that they had going against Minnesota was about as good as you. They can beat anybody if they play that way. So they're playing great hockey, and they can beat Michigan State Saturday, and they can win it all if they play like they did this past Saturday. Okay.
Hey, Danny, let me mention something I read about a couple comments from Kirby Smart. He talked about the new system now, the NIL, the transfers and this and that. And he referred that, you know, keeping your locker room happy is a whole different deal now for a head coach, because you have freshmen who you had to recruit and maybe offer NIL money that's more than guys that have been there. So Kirby Smart talked about it, said it's something a coach has to deal with, and to try to have that camaraderie and a team cohesiveness is a challenge. So that's that. He talked about the difference in the parking lot, meaning the type of cars that are in the parking lot now opposed to 4 or 5 years ago. You know, I remember in my day, I remember Jim Harbaugh had an old beat up Volkswagen Bug. I had this beat up Nova. It was banged around, and you know, these guys are, but he mentioned it, parking lot, big cars, cohesiveness in the locker room is a big challenge for coaches. And I was just going to I'll finish up on Saban. Saban talked about revenue sharing and all these other ideas. But with the NIL, he talked about that, but he didn't really get specific about, how he would share the revenue, but he thinks that's where you have to get to have some type of balance in recruiting. Otherwise it's just going to be the have and have not. So it was interesting that he was kind of subtly agreeing with some of the things Jim talked about but he wanted it all the same amount that a Mississippi State, Alabama, Auburn, Michigan, Ohio State, you're going to all offer kids the same amount from a revenue sharing standpoint.
Well, it's the number one thing that Michigan fans sit around wondering about. Last year, Michigan was able to use NIL to keep all of those players and compensate them on the roster. And it was one of the big it's a big reason why they won the national championship. A lot of those guys would have been gone, could have gone elsewhere. It's also been they've been very successful in being able to retain the players that they have in this transition. Now, out of Dan Hurley from UConn, the one seed, the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament, he was complaining about people tampering with his players even before they're playing this tournament right now. Coaches were getting after these Michigan players and offering them, and U of M was able to use their NIL right now to keep these players and keep this defense almost intact, with the exception of Keon Sabb. So, and look at where it's at right now. Michigan's hill that they have, I don't know, died on, but it's their big hill, is that they were not going to give money to high school prospects. And then 2 weeks ago, the NCAA said, we're not looking into any promised money to players. Even though so they basically said, everything that's going on, you can do whatever you want. That's what I heard. Now, I don't know how Michigan has said, Ward Manuel was quoted saying that they will be as invested above board as any team with NIL, but now the NCAA saying we're not looking below board. So what their approach is going to be is pretty fascinating moving forward.
Yeah, Danny, I don't believe that those 12 transfers came to our football program last year just because of money.
Oh, I don't think so either. I think transfers are looking to play.
And I think the same thing with
– and they're looking for money.
Well, I get it. It's a part. It's a part of many reasons why a kid comes and picks a school, you know. You evaluate a lot of things when you're getting recruited.
That's right.
And I think that's one of the number one things Sherrone Moore has to try to continue. What Jim was able to do is like, hey, I wanted to play for Jim Harbaugh and Jesse Minner And Sherrone, you know, the guys that came last year, you know, they wanted to be a part of Michigan because Jim had a reputation of developing guys, getting them ready for the pros. A little bit of NIL help. You know, you listen to A.J. Barner, you listen to these guys, Wallace. They wanted to play for Michigan in Harbaugh and in our system and our coaches. And that's what Sherrone Moore has been able to prove so far, which was – that's why I'm so happy with it. It's
what's proven, he been able to prove?
He's proven that we haven't lost guys.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Not so much bringing him in. I firmly believe they have confidence in what we have as to why he hasn't brought a bunch of guys in. I don't think it's – I think maybe we missed on a few guys. I think there were some guys we were trying to get. But anyway, I'm satisfied with it. We are – it is what it is. But he has to continue to be able to show that ability to identify great transfers and then bring them in if we feel we need them.
Sounds like a song that my daughter plays once in a while. It is what it is. It was what it was. So we'll see what they end up coming up with in terms of the transfer portal. All right. You know, I'm over here just laughing and throwing out lyrics to songs. I'll put a couple more up here before we talk about basketball. Old AOKO says, hopefully they use Samaj Morgan more in the deep passing game. It was an easy tell of a screen pass every time Morgan lined up. Go ahead.
Yeah, you want to have, you know, the scouting report when you play Michigan is that every receiver will go deep or they'll throw bubbles or they'll run jet. You know, you don't want to get a scouting report on a guy like, you know, he's not a deep threat or he, you know, he can't, they won't throw the bubble to him or they don't run jet sweep with him or they won't run him, you know, certain routes they don't run. You don't want that. Those are big tips and tells for the defense. It's just like a tight end. They don't run behind 18. Can't block. No, you want to be able to have all of your players so that they can do all of the things. So the defense has to defend all of the routes. It makes it much, much more of a problem. But you're right, AO. We want to have Samaj be a kind of guy that, yeah, every route he can run, every route is a threat. That's what you want. Same thing with our quarterbacks. They can throw all the routes. They can do all the stuff and run it and throw it. And
here's a question about pro Harbaugh. Now, we know that the Chargers dealt Keenan Allen. Ferris is saying that Harbaugh is going to get Bowers, and then he's going to get Corum, and Herbert's going to be the JJ coach in the pro version of Smash. And I know I asked you what you thought the Chargers are doing that number 5 pick. They were able to keep Khalil Mack and Bosa. They redid their deals, but they don't have Keenan Allen. What
if you had Harbaugh, Denny? It's typical Harbaugh. He's focusing on defense. What you see there is a guy. He's got his quarterback. He's letting the big time receiver go. He's gonna let those off, but he ain't gonna mess with that defense. He's going to give Jesse and give him the best guys he can to play defense.
Let me give you this scenario, Scott.
That's the Harbaugh mentality. That's the Michigan mentality.
All right. You're great with the Michigan mentality. You're sitting there. Here's the hypothetical. It's draft night in Detroit, and the first 4 players off the board are Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and the Vikings move up to the number 4 spot. And they picked J.J. McCarthy. There's some of the draft gurus, Daniel Jeremiah, I believe. That is his latest mock draft. He's predicted chaos. So that is the Chargers. They can have anybody they want in the draft at number 5. A lot of people think that would be Marvin Harrison Jr., Maserati Marv with Jim Harbaugh, a replacement for Keenan Allen. But, all right, Scar, you know the Michigan mentality. Is Harbaugh picking Maserati Marv at number 5 in that scenario?
I mean, he could. That's a good. It's a good situation. He got rid of the other guy. Maybe he thinks we'll get this guy. But I'd have to study what he did at San Francisco, what his beliefs were, and how much say he had. You know, that was part of the problem there with Bulky and him.
He's going to have some say.
I know, but you're right. I mean, but if you look at Jim and John, those guys are going to draft defense early. They're always going to draft defense.
I think he's moving out. I think he would move out. I don't think he would take Maserati Marv. There's a lot of wide receivers there. If somebody wants to come up at net 5, you would think you would be for Harrison. You would get a premium. There is a tackle there from Notre Dame that I think if he's stuck there, I could easily see him taking. But there's, you know, three or four tackles, and I could I don't like Harbaugh taking Marvin Harrison at five. It just doesn't fit for me. It doesn't fit all that. I think he would move out, which is
an easy way out
for me. But, you know, I stuck it to you, and then I took the easy way out. I think he would take Holt from Notre Dame.
Yeah, Danny, I just think in general, philosophically, when in doubt, the Harbaughs are going to take use their early picks on defense.
I'm not going to argue with you, but I will have you rank the quarterbacks, because Mark is talking about some YouTuber who ranked, Big Ten. I don't know what that is. He ranked Orgy as the 17th best quarterback, and he said that feels crazy to him. So I don't know. Some YouTuber. It's like, well, okay, Orgy. We don't know if Orgy's going to win the job.
I want the best. The best guy to run our offense, man. You know, rank. Let's just score points. Who's difficult to defend? You know, I don't know how, you know, some dude on YouTube, you know, whatever his program is. You know, our coach has got to figure out who's the best guy, who can throw accurate passes, you know, who can avoid the rush. And that's what we're going to do, man. You got to let these guys go live a little bit and figure out who can avoid the rush. Now, yeah, you're right, Ferris. Wink is very similar to, you know, he's going to show blitz. He's going to show safety and bring an edge. Show an edge, bring a corner. Show linebackers and drop a nose. A drop a three technique. So that's what he does. That's what McDonald did. And that's what, Minter did. And it's going to be – but listen, there were subtle tweaks between Minter and McDonald. I saw subtle differences. The foundation was the same, though. Great interior – defensive linemen that don't get knocked off the ball. Our defense starts, Denny, with those two inside D linemen not getting knocked off the ball. And that's something we saw the last 3 years.
All right, Ferris is thanking you for answering his question. So there you go. I'm looking for some other ones that are in here. Jim talking about the Yost Ice Arena being a historic building. No question about that. Did you ever have any training over there at the Yost Ice Arena, Scar?
No, I remember working the Michigan camp way back when I first started working that camp back in like 87, 88. And Jimmy Herman was running it. And we used to have our coaches meeting over there at Yost Arena. We had donuts and coffee. That was it. That was your option for breakfast. And the coaches would meet there at Yost. And Bo always talked about Yost, man. He that was the guy that put Michigan on the map. You know, he always talked about Yost. Without Yost, if Yost would have gone to Indiana, there'd be no Michigan. If Yost would have gone to Purdue or some other place, Yost built that stadium. Look at the guy's record. I talked about Yost. Bo talked about Yost. But then you want to move on to some basketball?
I want to say that the Yost Ice Arena is the best college hockey arena in the country. I haven't been to all of them. I've been to a few. But, man, it just doesn't get any better than Yost. Great atmosphere. The crowd has everything going from the very top, the whole way. There's not a bad spot in the building. Such great atmosphere. I just love that rink. So yeah, go ahead, Scar.
I'll close on it is a great arena. I've been going there since I was a freshman when John Giordano was the coach, and then I saw when they transitioned. A lot of my buddies were hockey guys, and then when Red got it going, boy, because I mean you could find a seat anywhere when Giordano was coaching. They were losing, but when Red got it going in a couple of years, man, the place was packed. It was a whole different environment. Red Berenson changed that whole thing, man.
Old Red Berenson, I got to give him credit. He wanted me to talk more Michigan hockey when I was a radio host in Ann Arbor. And I said, Red, nobody really calls about hockey. He's like, you. So then he said, well, you have to hang around with hockey people and start giving them something to talk about. He didn't take no for an answer there. And then he said, why don't you broadcast from Yost Ice Arena on Fridays when you do your show? So I was like, okay, I'll do it. So, you know, and I talked a lot more hockey. I'm over there. I'm up in the booth. And, you know, hockey people would come in. I would put them on the air. But then they had this, not the Zamboni, but they would bring out this edger. They would chop up the ice, and it would be so loud. So it would be like doing a broadcast with a lawnmower in the background. And so I told Red, I was like, I can't broadcast there anymore because of this edger. And he said, I'll take care of that. No more edger. Yeah, it was quiet. Nobody was making any noise. And I thought, you know, it's nice to have Red, you know, calling the shots, because it was as quiet. People would make all kinds of noise. No more noise. Quiet for the broadcast while we were up there. So thanks to Red Berenson for that. All right, Scar, can you name the players that are left on the Michigan basketball team?
Yeah, there's a good side also to that, Denny. It's a downside. You don't want to lose Doug, and you know, you don't want to lose these guys that you've invested in. But you know, Denny, college basketball has changed, and you know, if you get the right coach, and he has the wisdom to identify the right transfers, we got to get this guy hired pretty quick. But if you get the right coach with the right wisdom to identify the right transfers and the ability to bring them in. We just watched Colorado State last night beat the heck out of Virginia. Colorado State had all graduates, old dudes, yep. 22, 23-year-old guys. That was their lineup. And they, you win with old guys in college basketball. You don't win with these young guys. And they're, I almost think if I was coaching basketball now, I might want to just forget about even spending a ton of emphasis on recruiting high school kids, because you know you win with older guys. You mess around with these young kids, then they end up leaving. But anyway, it's not a terrible thing, Denny. I'm going to throw a name, and I know you're going to beat me up. That's not on the list.
Okay, I don't care.
But I'm just giving his. This is the kind of guy we got to find, maybe with not his baggage. This Will Wade at McNeese State. The former LSU coach that, you know, is on tape doing all the things he did. But watch, I'm going to watch his team. I think they play Thursday. Watch this McNeese State team. He's got all transfers. They were all at couple different places. But you know what? The guy had the wisdom to identify the right guys. Now, it's in a different league, but they beat some good people. Okay, that's what we got to find. That skill, I think, in college basketball now, you know, my buddy, I said it's more important than the ability to teach pick and roll. He said, I don't know. There's a lot of guys that can't coach. I don't know. You got to be able to do all that, though. You got to teach pick and roll and identify this great talent. And how can I put that whole puzzle together? You know, even though he's a great player, will he blend in with the guys I'm bringing in? Does he fit my system? Anyway, this Will Wade at McNeese State, someone will hire him, Denny, at a big school, okay? Because what he did is now legal at LSU, okay? So and Michigan's going to stand up and say, oh, you know, we can't hire a guy like that. But I guarantee you.
Michigan will. That's been Michigan's hill for 20 years.
Yeah. We'll let, you know, Maryland will go hire that guy if this guy fails.
Michigan, you know, will USC not hire him. You're right about that.
USC will hire that guy, sure. And we're going to have to face him. And that guy can recruit, and he can build a pro. But if it's not him,
you think Michigan should hire Will? If they said, hey, Scar, if Ward Manuel gave you a call and said, man, I'm torn. Will Wade's this great coach. Are you okay as an alum looking
past? Yeah. As an alum, I'm okay. I want to find out more if there's more to the story. But I'd like to find out more about it. But I'm, you know, I don't have problem giving guys check and
change. Well, I'll come back. I'm gonna be worried in this situation when you're saying there's more. What we know about him is that he was making big ass offers to high school players for six figures. He was on the phone, and the FBI tapped his phone tap. Yeah, tapped his phone, and you know he's on there talking about, you know, giving money. That's the problem. That when
I get it. Hey, Chris Beard supposed
to do that, that's what he did.
I know Chris Beard had that issue with his wife. He was at Texas. He won everywhere he is. Now Ole Miss hired him.
Texas Tech. Yeah. Texas
he won at Texas Tech. He was at Texas building Texas.
Yeah, and they fired
him. That's a guy that, you know, worked under Bobby Knight. You know, but guess what? Ole Miss hired him. You know, well, right.
Do you think that that Michigan, with the that domestic violence situation that never went to court because his wife wouldn't testify, you would, and so he's clean that way, you would hire Chris Beard at Michigan? He is a great coach.
Yeah, Danny, I would hire those guys. I would.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't hire Beard or Wade. So I get it. Those guys are great coaches. So there you go.
So you're not a forgiving. I thought you were more of a forgiving kind of guy.
Well, I would say that I am a forgiving guy, and I am for second chances. But when it comes down to, you know, the Michigan fit, you got to be a Michigan fit. And in Michigan, their whole identity as a university for the past 20 years, or if you want to go since 1969, is not giving money to high school players. Now you could say, well, what about the Fab Five? Well, you can say whatever you want. That's their number one identity. And so they're not going to go with the poster child of giving money.
Okay.
To, you know, they're the great coach. And look, you know, I like that a coach went through the legal system and everything else. I look at coaching as a privilege. Same thing as playing. And when it comes down to Beard, he is a great coach, but how many times you also have to be a little bit reasonable when you're looking at things. That lady, his fiance at the time, called the police and said he was choking her to death, you know, and that's why she called the police, because she feared for her safety. Well, yeah, after a couple days, she's like, now I don't want to testify. We have seen, you know, I'm not bringing Chris Beard.
All right, so if you were the head football coach, Scruggs would have been fired the next day, or he'd be fired now.
Well, I would say that if it came to me, when it came down to hiring the coaches, and when True Wright or whatever Turnkey came to me and said he's got these two situations that he's been arrested with alcohol in the past, and you know the lawyer for Michigan would say, well, technically those are expunged because it's after a 10-year window. That's how they look at it. I would say, I would want to find out where he's at. If he was like somebody that didn't drink at all, and I would say, well, can we put in a zero tolerance policy about your drinking? If he said, I have a glass of wine here or then, I still would say, I know this is in the past, but we're going to put a zero tolerance policy. I would put a zero tolerance policy if I would have hired him. If he would have said, no, that's not going to do it. And then I would have put that into it. So no, he would not be.
Let's assume it wasn't. What would you do now?
Unless there's a situation where Scruggs came up and said he got his DUI, he had called for an Uber and was just sitting in his car because it was cold that night and had it running, and that's how they got him, I could say, all right, it's pretty easy to, you know, he did the right thing. He called Uber. It's not technically right to be sitting in your car operating it while you're, you know, above a 0.08. I could see in a situation like that where you could bring him back, but it'd have to be a situation like that. People have putting all types of hypotheticals. That's really the only one that I could see where I would keep him on the team.
Okay. All right. Those are decisions leaders have to make. I had to make many of them as a head football coach and as an athletic director, and not fun.
No, those aren't fun. Those are tough. You're going to get criticized either way it goes on that. Those are the ones, and that falls into the category, Scar. That's why you got paid the big bucks.
Yeah, well, not in high school.
You want to be a head coach?
I mean, you make decisions about kids. I mean, I had to make decisions about kids, and I just knew that if you throw this kid off the team or this, that, or whatever, he's going to end up being going to be on the streets, and he's going to deal with the law. And in many cases, that happened. And you had to think about all those decisions, you know, when you make a decision about a kid who screwed up. So it's tough.
What about this one? Scar Moose says we need to hire John Beilein until we can find the right fit.
Well, the problem with Beilein is well, you know, I don't know. I mean, unless you go straight up all wrong. Well, think about Beilein. I didn't think about this, but think about Beilein. Like if he got the job right now, John Beilein could go out and get 10 transfers, 3- and 4-year guys, and put a team together, and he could do well. And like I initially thought, well, Beilein wouldn't be good because who's going to want to play for a guy who's only going to be there 1 or 2 years? Because didn't he talk about only doing it 1 year or something?
He didn't talk about it. There's been some speculation because he's 70.
You know what? When you think about it now.
Old. I mean, I people are like, well, the president, I don't know how old the presidential candidates, they're like 75. Like, you know, they're still doing their job.
The thing about today's college basketball, if John Beilein got the job, he could go out and get 10 transfers. He could compete right away. Because he knows he has an eye for talent. He'd be all over that Ivy League. He'd find big guys that can step out of the three and bring the big guy out, make Zach Edey play defense at the three-point line. You know, kind of, he knows exactly what he wants. You know, he would get 10 guys that could fit his – and he's going to have about 10 scholarships available now.
I would be excited if Michigan came up and said that they're hiring John Beilein and they are bringing him back. I would be excited.
Yeah, I would too, because initially, I'm like, no way, because you won't be able to recruit. But now when I think about it, it's like there's 10 slots ready, and you can just go straight transfers. And whatever's left, Will Cheddar, whatever's left on that roster. But there's got to be about eight, nine scholarships available.
Yeah, I don't know what age it becomes an issue where – but I do recall – Joe Paterno, and I really liked Joe Paterno when he coached Penn State. I used to go to the Big Ten coaches meetings. I would sit around and after the coaches meetings. I would go to the hospitality suite. I would sit around and listen to Joe Paterno for really hours over the years and talk football. But when in the later years, when Joe Paterno would be answering questions, they would say, "Hey, Joe," and he'd be looking up there, "The lights are too bright." And then he would say, "I don't know what you guys." And everybody thought, "Well, he's just being cute. That's just cute. He's an old man being cute. Like, I can't hear what you're saying." And then, you know, but we gave him a break. I gave him a break because it's like, okay, you know, he's in his 70s. Let's not, you know, stick his feet to the fire on every single thing. And then, you know, what happened with him. And a lot of that, he used the same thing. Like, I didn't know what Jerry was doing. Like, oh, you didn't know what Jerry was doing. Okay, well, you didn't know what Jerry was doing.
I think Beilein is pretty sane and sharp. Yeah,
he seems like it. That's right. Yeah. So I'm not comparing. You know, I'm just comparing that you get into your 70s. And look, if they want to hire John Beilein, I would be for that. Now, I would not
he
be.
Could win, no. He could win right away.
What if Beilein says, "I'm here. I'll commit to 2 or 3 years, but I want to be able to name my successor." What do you say if you're Ward Manuel?
Well, you know, that's another thing I had to talk about. You know, Saadi Washington, Denny, is a good coach. Yeah. And I thought Beilein recommended him. Didn't Beilein recommend Saadi to replace him? It was him.
I don't remember anyway, that.
Saadi Washington, he hasn't had, you know, he hasn't led, so he'd be another guy you hire from, you know, within. But
yeah,
John Beilein.
I'll jump in, Scar. The next coach has to have prior coaching experience. Juwan didn't. That would be one of the, if I'm putting out a boilerplate of things that I have to have if I'm Ward Manuel, number one on that list is going to be prior coaching, head coaching experience. I'm not taking another guy learning on the job. That's just the way it is right now. So that means that Saadi's not going to get the job.
No, I get it. And you know, but he understood the system. He would plug right in. Probably, I don't. Again, you don't know what system he would use, but I don't know who would if Ward would go for that kind of deal where he could hire. He doesn't really have a tree out there coaching. I don't think there's former Beilein guys that are head coaches anywhere that I don't know that there are, but anyway, I like John Beilein. And if someone told me, you know, Beilein was going to have the job for even 1 year until I'd be excited about it. Cause I really firmly believe he could find a way to win next year. Just like the guy, Denny, the guy at McNeese State won 1 year. And you look at Illinois. I've always said I think the best coach in the Big Ten is the guy at Illinois. I watched him. I think he's the best coach in the Big Ten. I watched him at Stephen Austin. Guy, you know, just smart, tough. They play smart. Then he goes to Oklahoma State. And I was not happy when Illinois hired him. I knew we were going to have problems. Michigan has never beaten the guy. We've never beaten Brad Underwood. Juwan never beat him.
That's true.
The guy can flat out coach. And you know what else he did? He's showing, though, he can do. He identified transfer talent. What did he bring in this year? You know, he brought in some guys, man, from some small schools. You know, that's what you got to be able to do, man. And Beeline will have that kind of ability to do that.
Well, the part about bringing in the transfers is, part of the issue with Michigan. You know, you say, you know, let's bring in a complete transfer team. You wouldn't deal with the high school players. I think Michigan's got to approach it the exact opposite way. They have to go to the high school ranks, and they have to bring in players and develop them. They can't get – there's the coach at Drake that a lot of people like, DeVries, and I like him myself. But part of DeVries, he's got a bunch of players that he would take with him. It's almost like a ready-made team, including the player of the year in the Mountain – or the Missouri Valley, which is his son. But his son, even though Drake's academics seem to be pretty good, he's likely not going to be able to get in.
Well, maybe we got to do what Colorado State did and just take a lot of older transfers, graduate transfers. That's just the
grad transfers.
Yeah, it's what we got to do. Listen, if you want to coach at Michigan, you can't complain about the academics. Don't take the job, okay? You're going to take the job at Michigan like Rich Rod and whine about the academics. No, really. Okay. Don't take the job. If you think you can bring guys in with a pulse, because Michigan ain't West Virginia, man. This ain't whatever the hell he was, Glenville State or whatever it was. Okay. So you can't complain about the academics if you take the Michigan job, but you just have to do it with graduate transfers. You got to look at different type of guys, and that can be an advantage for you in a way to play at Michigan and be a graduate. So you got to find a system that works for you. Jim Harbaugh did it. He brought 12 in last year. So it can be done. You just got to be, have the wisdom to identify the right players.
Yeah, I think the weird part here is this next coach. It's a rebuild. I'm not expecting much next year, even though you do have the transfer portal. But it just goes back to where Juwan Howard somewhere sitting here, he's going to be watching the tournament. He's going to see Antonio Reeves lighting it up for Kentucky. Like, this guy's a great shooter, and he's watching Shannon go for 40 points in Minneapolis and tear it up as Illinois. And, you know, Michigan had Shannon. Caleb Love.
No, we didn't. Why bring him in on a visit if you can't get him in?
I don't know, because
he... Well, then you're going to whine about it? You're going to tell everybody I couldn't get him in? Don't bring him in on a visit if you can't get him in.
The kid was like,
"That would be my argument. Why'd you even bring him to Ann Arbor?
Because he's got talent." The kid said that he would.
No, you don't even bring him in, man.
If he says, "I want to take the summer school classes, and that'll make me eligible, and I'm in."
You got to get that stuff hashed out ahead of time.
Well, that was hashed out, but you can't.
If he was willing to do all that, then you would have came.
Point at him and tell him that. Hey, wait, you told us that you were gonna take classes, and now he's like, Illinois is offering me $100,000.
Okay, well, whatever, you got out recruited there, then, man. Don't blame Michigan.
I agree with you on Caleb Love. When he came in, and they looked at the transcripts, and they're like, "There's zero chance that you're getting in here."
Okay, well, that's Michigan,
1% chance they should have moved on.
I get it. It's we're different. Michigan, right. Notre Dame, Stanford. We're different. We ain't Michigan State. It is what it is. You can complain about it, but we've been able to. Beeline found a way to win. Jim found a way to win. So, we got to do it. We got to do what we got to do, man.
All right, Scar. I don't know. The way that the feedback is going, people are talking about, cheap drinks. Now, you're not a drinker, but, I see somebody mentioning Thunderbird, which I'm familiar with back in the day, and M-Dog 2020. I would not.
Mad Dog.
I would not recommend.
I remember that Rockets.
I wouldn't recommend Thunderbird or Mad Dog to anyone out there. And it's potent. It tastes terrible, but that's not something that if you're going to drink, you want to mess with.
Danny, what was that place on the corner of Packard and State Campus Corner?
Yeah, it was the keg, wasn't it called?
Oh, man, they had the little spy up on top there watching people, so they weren't stealing. But we'd go get a case of beer there. Man, I can't remember the name. It was the most rot gut. We didn't have no money. And we'd get a case of that stuff and bring it back to the dorm. And, you got
to. I wonder if you're on the football team now, if you could just walk into a place and say.
Back in the day, you could have keg parties. Danny, back in the day, in my day, you could have a keg sitting right outside in the hallway at South Quad Dorm. Nobody cared. It's a different world now. These guys can't do none of that stuff.
Back in the day, as a student, you could take a keg into Michigan Stadium.
That's right. Yeah.
I can't imagine, you know, sitting over there. All right, pour me another one. Let's go. Let's go.
There was a keg party in South Quad every night of the week. On a Tuesday, somebody in South Quad, there was a keg somewhere.
Scar, I think that stuff's still going on, by the way. I wonder now, though, if you're a football player. Like, so before you could go in, you couldn't even get somebody couldn't say, hey, here's a free sucker for you. You know, that's against NCAA. But if you're a football player now, do you go in and you go to the, you say, hey, where do I sign for my food? Are these guys just getting free meals and free drinks? And hey, this is so-and-so, send over a couple kegs.
You know what, Denny, you know what? We did have a form of NIL back in the day because there's places we could go and they would hook us up with a pizza or half price. Pizza Bob's used to help out the players. I still go. When I go to Ann Arbor, I will still go and spend money at Pizza Bob's just because they took care of us as players years ago. You know, and there's drinking establishments. They would, you have a big game, a big win. We win a game. They would buy rounds for the guys. So in a way, we had a crumb of NIL.
They knew we were players.
They let us in the front of the line, let you in free, and maybe get you a pitcher or whatever.
Yeah, I can remember Remy Hamilton working as a bartender after he was done. And you know, there's I don't know what the point of that story is. Actually, if you look right above my head, there's a picture of 1994 Remy Hamilton kicking that game-winning field goal against Notre Dame. Look, there is the ability where you get coupons and things like that. I've heard all kinds of stuff like that back in the day. I just wonder now that you were pulling up in an old beater that needed tires and everything, bald tires and the car you were in. Now they're pulling up in 2024 Escalades. That might be a little bit different. They just go in and the owner says, pick whatever you want. I don't know how it works now.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure that there's people that still want players hanging around their establishments. You know, it helps business. You know, if J.J. McCarthy's at your little bar, your little restaurant, you know, if Corum's hanging around there, it helps. So there's guys that would always want players hanging, you know, at their place.
Yeah, well, I've heard that some of the sororities, young ladies, they might get waived the cover charge, you know, to come on in. And
that's right, you know.
Maybe have a drink. We'll have to get the old Greek freak on here and have him tell us what it's like down there in Ann Arbor. What's going on at the bars in Ann Arbor? All right, Scar, do you have any final thoughts?
No, everything's good, Danny. We're fired up. We're going to gonna get to practice soon. I'm hoping to see good things, man. But we're guys are working, man. A lot of competition and very important next 6 weeks for a lot of players. You know, I remember being it, going through it, and they are competing like crazy in every drill to beat out the guy next to them. It's happening as we speak.
Love it. I'll be watching basketball tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You'll have a sports update coming your way Friday, and then I'll talk with you on Monday. Great job, Scar.
All right, Danny, go blue.
There he is, Jim Scarcelli. Smash that like button. Thanks so much.